I don't really know how happy clams are, but I think I'm as happy as a clam.
Don't believe me, just watch.
It's beginning to look a lot like Welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. Hi, everybody. Hey, it's good to have you there. We're deep in the middle of the season, and it is a fun time. It's cold and snowy and icky and wet and all the things it normally is in December, and here we are in the middle of it. So that's how this works. It is so fun to have you on the podcast today. Thank you for being here. It's great to have you aboard whatever you're doing today. It's a fun podcast today. You're going to like it. Today, we're going to interview a safety manager. Yeah, just, you know, a safety manager, just like so many of us on this podcast. Nothing special, nothing great, except that this guy is so much fun. You will love Frank. Frank is a great, great guy. In fact, Frank Dunlap is, I think, the quintessential safety guy. And you'll hear it in his voice when he talks to you. And if you could see him, you'd know it in a split second, in a flash. Frank's interesting, he's compelling, and he's on a journey. And one of the reasons I asked Frank to be on the podcast this week is because I want him to talk about that journey, because I think there's much we can gather from that. And so that is what today's podcast is all about. And I think you're going to enjoy it greatly. For me, well, things are just, you know, the way things are in December, the month that does not exist, except that I think it's really fun. Of course, there's weird pressures and you have to find the right gift and order stuff and go shopping and put up with crowds. But all that's kind of fun, really, at the end of the day. I mean, really, it's a nice chance to be with people. And for the most part, pretty much across the board, the people I'm interfacing with are in a pretty good mood. And that makes it fun and kind of nice and interesting. And it's the season. I like it a lot. I like the music. I love the lights. Given a world without limits, I can't even imagine how I would decorate the house for Christmas. I just can't even imagine. LEDs are cool now. There's multicolored. You can change colors with remotes. Oh, you can do anything. And it's all pretty fun. So with that, my little treatise on Christmas and how much fun it is to talk to you and how much fun we have anyway, let's head to the podcast. Let's hear what Frank has to say. Will you please sit back and relax and listen as Frank Dunlap talks to you about safety as he sees it and the journey he's been on to sort of move towards safety too, the new view. And he's moving an entire organization, an entire plant, and an entire plant management staff. He's dragging them with him come heck or high water, and that's right where Frank's going. So until then, let's talk more later. But this is Frank Dunlap. Listen carefully. So what's up, man? Thanks for doing the podcast.
Well, hey, not a problem. You know, we'll see if I actually have anything interesting to say.
Oh, I think that's the least of our worries, really. The least of our worries. How have you been? What's been up? Tell me everything.
Oh, man. Busy, I guess you would say. You know,
really?
To do. Yeah. A lot going on here. So, you know, a lot to do and a lot of people's minds to change.
So how are you changing minds? What are you doing to change minds? How do you do the voodoo you do?
You know, conversation, Todd. That's pretty much what I've been trying to do. You know, a lot of just conversations, getting the right people together in a room and then asking the right questions, I guess.
And
maybe sometimes the wrong question.
Well, no, yeah. I think the question's the powerful thing in that. How do you set people up to have those conversations?
Well, just kind of talk about context, right? So we've had a couple incidents since I've been here. So it's been an easy way to talk about what's going on in that instance, the context of the worker, you know, what they were dealing with at the time. So it's easy to talk to management about that at that point because you have something that's concrete, something that's there to talk about.
How does management take it? I mean, are they open to the conversation? Is that hard or easy or difficult or fun?
You know, I think what's interesting about that is that at the beginning of the conversation, you can see the mindset of, you know, the fault of the worker. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
But by the end of it, you can really see the switch. Especially once you start explaining the context and you try to give them that vivid viewpoint of here's what was going on. Here's where the circumstances around the incident, you know, I can, and then my favorite thing is to say, I could totally see how I would do the same thing. And when you throw it, kind of disarms things a little bit. And then you can really start having that conversation of how the system allowed that to happen.
Does it change the outcome, you think?
Yeah, sometimes. Not always, obviously.
Yeah, but, no, you can't. I haven't figured that one out yet. Does it change the corrective action?
Yes, definitely. I think that definitely has happened, is that the corrective, what we do as an outcome of the incident to try to make sure it doesn't happen again has definitely changed to what can we change in the system to make it more foolproof than what it was.
In other words,
adding those defenses.
And are you getting more safe?
Yeah, I think definitely.
That's cool.
I'm seeing more and more of the hazardous conditions come in now.
That are really, but
not only looking at it as a hazardous condition, but looking at it as what can we do to prevent something from happening here? You know, how can we build capacity for failure?
Oh, that's great. So introduce yourself, Frank, to all the people, because they don't know and love you the way I know and love you.
Gotcha.
But they will. By the end of this little 30-minute stretch, that you are going to be the most popular boy in school.
Oh, man. I don't know about that either. Never was when I was a kid. So.
Well, it can change.
True. My name is Frank Dunlap. I'm an EH&S manager. I didn't get any clearances for companies, so I didn't want to actually say company names.
Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with that at all. I work in the same kind of place, so I totally get that.
Yeah. So I work in a manufacturing environment, a lot of moving machinery and a lot of consistent batching. So something that happens over and over and over again all day long, three shifts, et cetera. I've been doing EH&S now since 2007 and kind of fell into the role.
Yeah, so what got you into doing EH&S, thank you. What got you in 2007 interested in, or what, was it thrust upon you? Is that what I hear you saying?
Well, no, I thrust it upon myself a little bit. I worked for an environmental company for about 11 years, and while I was there, I was getting my degree.
Nice.
And once I got my degree, physics, you know, which has nothing to do with EH&S, but, you know, that's
or
a whole
or
other
does
story.
It? Yes.
Well, that's true. It really does. But after I got my degree, I thought logically, well, I've been in the environmental field forever. I think my next logical step is EH&S, and found a guy who gave me a try at it, and kind of excelled from there. Actually, I just went into it and found out I actually had a little bit of a knack for this safety thing. So
what do you think your knack is? What's your advantage?
I'll be honest. It's personality only.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's probably the biggest advantage in this field is being able to be a people person and talk to pretty much anyone. I think doing work for so long, like actually just being a worker on the floor. You know, I started as a facility technician with this environmental company. So started right at the ground floor, entry level position, and worked my way up and went to college and all that kind of fun stuff. So I think that helps a lot with this job as well. Being able to talk the talk, understand what they mean when they're talking to you, things of that nature.
What got you interested in sort of beyond Safety One stuff? What got you interested in kind of the new view?
Yeah, I was working for a chemical company, and this was probably back in about 2008, 2009. They had bought another chemical company, and their EH&S people kind of were a little bit already kind of on that verge. And they suggested this new root cause analysis training. And it was from ABS Consulting. I don't know if you ever heard of them. But
no, I don't know, but it's good to give them a plug.
Yeah. So,
we like them if they're new view people.
Well, and I'm not sure all of ABS is, but I know the trainer was. And the book he wrote was definitely new view because it was a week-long class. I mean, of just sitting there and going through incidences and talking about how to investigate them. And when we get to the point where we're talking about root cause, they had this whole thing of it never lands on a piece of equipment or it never lands on a worker or a human error. It really just needs to go back to, there was like four deep root causes, and there were like SOPs, how does the company do it with policy? What can we do within the system that would make this not happen again? And I think that's where I first started seeing it, and I was like, huh, this makes a whole lot of sense. You know what I mean? And then, of course, at another company, we started to head on down the human performance side, the training by yourself, and that really kind of sparked me off reading your book and heading that way.
And if you've really pursued this even more, right?
Oh yeah, definitely, wholeheartedly. You know, reading Decker, Hot Doggle,
reading them all, eh? Getting them
all
in there.
Yeah, just trying to read as much as I can. Listen to the podcast all the time.
How's it changed the way you see the world?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, I see a lot of the, even in the newspaper, a lot of things happening. You know, I don't want to get political or anything like that, but you know, some of the things even that happens with police officers and I started to think, well, these are workers, right? So these workers are trying to do work the best way they can. I mean, cause that's where we start, right? We start with their workers. They're trying to do the work the best way they can. We can't just leave it with, it was there has to be something in the system that's creating it. Right.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's where it's more often now, you know, you see a train crash or something like that, and now I'm arguing with people on the street just about, well, no, it's not just the conductor's fault. You got to think about this, that, and the other thing, you know what I mean? And how the system allowed that to happen.
Well, and you really see it. It's funny. You see it so much at our level. So, you know, you and I share something that we're out there and really you're out there way, way more than I am, but you're out there, you're at the pointy end of the stick. I mean, you are managing safety with real people every single day. You see them, you know their names, and you really see that this whole idea that, you put really good people in a really crappy system, you get crappy outcomes. I mean,
exactly.
It's just, you know, systems eat people for lunch. And so that's a part of how we do that. How do you build relationships around the new view? Do you have different conversations now than you had 7 years ago? I mean, how do you build that same safety manager worker relationship, that floor level relationship when you're out there and they're saying, hey, Frank, how are you? Or maybe they're saying, holy crap, here comes Frank, but they're saying Frank somehow.
I think you still get that some, because you still have to be the guy who reminds them that they do need to put their safety glasses on, you know?
Right.
So you still get a little bit of that. But I think the conversations has changed as to how you're doing. Explain to me what you've got going on here. You know, I don't make tile. What are you doing? You know? And they really enjoy explaining their job to you and explaining how they do it and how they do it well. And, you know, and then it's kind of like, well, what kind of problems do you see? And you get to dive into, you know, the problems that they see every day and what kind of they feel causes that. And, I had an interesting safety meeting actually just the other day where I got to, it was after, the last podcast, was it Dan? Right. And,
Yeah,
and so I asked the question. You know, we had an incident, and it happened to happen during an upset condition. So I just said, "Hey guys, why is work difficult?" Oh man, you want to talk about opening up a conversation?
Really? Really?
Oh yeah.
See, I wouldn't think. See, that's cool, because it seems like such an open-ended question that they'd look at you and think, "Oh crap."
At first, yes, but I think it had to do with the context of the incident being an upset condition, and I was able to set the stage you know, he was involved in a difficult work at the time. And so I was like, so what makes your guys' work difficult? Why is your work difficult? And what I saw, and I have like three different meetings that I do the same meeting for, because they're three different committees, and I started to see a trend for all three, you know what I mean, of like the top four or five, and it's like, well, you can work with that data. You know what I mean?
That's good data.
Yeah. And what was interesting, what was the best part about it was one guy said in the first meeting, he said, no one's ever asked me that before. You know what I mean? He's like, you know what you should do? You should get out on the floor and just ask everybody, what makes your work difficult, you know? And like, he was really into the whole idea. And I was like, wow, yeah, maybe that's something I should do. You know what I mean? Get out there and just be like, hey, why is work difficult for you? You know?
That's correct. Are you using workers for operational learning? I mean, are you using workers in your investigations? Are you?
Yeah. So I try to, I always have the employee that may have gotten hurt involved. But
and you realize, of course, that's super controversial. Even
oh,
though
yes.
I can't
yeah,
imagine how you would do it without him in the room, there are people listening to this right now that are saying, you know, we don't do that. We wouldn't
right.
do that.
And well, it's actually pretty hard to do because they're working. You know what I mean? Especially if it's not an incident that takes them out of commission at all, right?
If it's an incident, do you have a problem pulling them off the line? Is that hard for you?
Yeah, I sometimes have to get creative.
Yeah.
You know, come in early and see if they'll come in early too. And usually they will because they want to help. You know what I mean? They don't want to hinder the investigation process, you know, or anything like that. So
Right. Usually
I'll just come in early and get them in a little bit early and, you know, spend 20, 30 minutes being able to talk to them, getting in the context, that kind of thing. And then I try to involve their peers as well. But unfortunately, I just don't get a lot of chances to involve all of them in one room. So.
Right, but I mean, you find ways to work around that, right? I mean, if I
right,
mean,
right, I think that's part of it. Is
that's
that,
not a deal breaker, really, per se.
No, no, and I think that's what I, coming into it, I thought that it was. You know what I guess was my thing. Well, if I'll never be able to get all these people in one room and have a learning group, right? Then I'm going to have an issue. But I found that as long as you have that constant person that's willing to do it, like I guess go out there and. Now talk to this person, now talk to this person and say, well, this was what this, you know, this is what I heard. Is that true? And stuff like that. It just takes a little longer and it's more time on you, but you can do it. You know what I mean? And definitely the I think the consequences of doing it this way has started to come to fruition as well. So a lot of different thinking and love more. You know, like I said, defenses coming through and stuff like that.
So, yeah. Tell me what that looks like when you say that. What are you seeing? Is it more open communication? Do you feel smarter? I mean, do you know more about how operations happen?
I definitely feel smarter about the process here, right? I definitely feel smarter about what the guys are dealing with. And I also feel easier to be in the management meetings and kind of voice a few things from them to the engineers. You know what I mean? To be able to say, well, they say that this really isn't working right, you know? What can we do to make it work right? And then, you know, it might be a something that the engineers would not have went down and fixed had no one said it's not working right, you know? So I definitely feel, and by smarter, I mean just more educated from the workers on what they're doing, the problems they're seeing, and how to bring that to management's attention to try to put some things behind it.
So you opened up a whole different topic there, and now my mind's racing in a different direction. How has this changed the way you talk to your leadership team?
Wow.
The
yeah.
bosses,
so,
the jefitos, the dueños, the King Kamehamehas.
Yeah, so I would say it's definitely changed the way I talk to them because I don't just jump in with whatever. I don't know how else to say that without being politically correct. You just don't jump in with the rhetoric you wanted to just be like, well, hey, but have we thought about this? And have we thought about how that happened? And, you know, what was going on around, what were the circumstances around it? You know, and most people I think are very open to that once you've kind of asked the right questions from them too, you know? But that's how it's changed the conversation. Then
are you working at educating your leaders? I mean, how do you sneak in education?
Yeah, I'm not ready to have a full blown training yet, I would say, but, you know, I do a lot of, I use your OEE moments a lot. So I'll download them and like put them in an email and like send them to all the leadership and say, hey, when you're in your pep meetings, talk about this. And what do you guys think about that? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Try to give them, you know, obviously I gave your book to my boss. just trying to have that conversation to open up, you know, let's have the hard conversations, you know.
What'd your boss say? What'd your boss think?
You know, he hasn't given me a whole lot of feedback yet. I think he's still digesting the reading. I'm not sure if he's even opened it yet. You know, it's one of those things you gotta, it's true. You never know. You just have to, you know, I mean, you keep throwing the seeds, I think, you know what I mean?
I think that's true. I think that's very true. You know, change is hard. Even change for good is hard.
Yeah.
And change happens incrementally, and you sort of create needs and reasons for changes to happen. But I'm curious if the corrective actions and the investigation and the learning outcomes are different, if that forces the leaders kind of small F, not big F forces, if it forces the leaders to sort of think differently about what's going on. I mean, I'm curious about that feedback.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we've definitely uncovered a lot of, but I don't think it's anything they didn't know before I got here. I think we've definitely uncovered that it's our systems have been neglected for a while. And I mean that from all over, you know, not only from a EH&S perspective, but from a operational perspective and a maintenance perspective, all of that. You know, it's really uncovered that we really have kind of, you know, in whether it be to save money or time, we've let things go and the infrastructure needs some work. You know what I mean? So I think we're just trying to attack it as priority comes up. And, you know, obviously everybody, when safety things come up, man, they're definitely a priority if anybody's got things.
Well, and that's good. You know that all systems always run degraded, right?
Right,
and
right.
So what you're involved in is normal. For most companies, I mean, most everybody that's listening would probably agree with what you just said.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you keep your spirits up? How do you keep your energy? How do you keep fighting the good fight?
Wow. You know what? I think this community here is a huge thing. Being able to be plugged into other like-minded people and get new ideas off the podcast. Just off the podcast alone, I've started this thing where we've started to do those pre-mortems.
Oh, nice. Really? Nice.
Yeah. I kind of turned it over to the supervisors and said, hey, this is another tool. And, you know, a couple of them bid on it and a couple of the teams really like it. A couple of the other teams didn't like it, but they like the pre-job idea. You know, I just keep trying to, you know, get new ideas from this to say, you know, we need to realize that the same risks are there that were here when you first came in here. That machine's just as risky as it was. You know what I mean? We're just better at it, right?
So, right.
And that's what I think the pre-jobs, the pre-mortems and all that do.
And different people need different types of safety. And so one of the things that at least has been a lesson for me, and it sounds like you're there too, is realizing that that I provide many ways to get to the water fountain.
Right.
There are many paths to Nirvana. And all of them will take us to an environment where we have the capacity to fail safely. And how they get there is really a matter of what works best for them as a leader and for their team members as team members.
Right. I think it is, like you said, just throwing out as much as you can and see what bites, right?
Yeah. And a better way to say that, not that that's not a bad way to say, that's a good way to say it, is that you're constantly micro experimenting.
Yes.
So instead of saying to your boss, I'm throwing all the crap on the wall and seeing what sticks, what you're really doing is running a series of micro experiments to see which ways you use actually can help make the process more reliable, safer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's ultimately. How are you guys measuring safety success? Any luck there?
No, not yet. You know, we're measuring the traditional way, right? Lost time incidents, TRR, your typical measurements. But I know that we are moving towards the more leading indicator idea. Here, I've changed, like at the actual facility level, where we're looking at things like pre-jobs. And all I did was kind of put a board up that says, hey, whenever you have a pre-job, just put a check here, right? So I can see how many you're having or doing or those kind of things. So, you know, like the pre-jobs, the pre-mortems, and I've thrown out, they've got about 7 different options to use. And you know, it's basically just to give me an idea of, okay, well, they're really grabbing on to the pre-mortems. I should probably work that way over here on with this team. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Because we are really broken up in the teams. And, you know, not everything works for each one of them the same way.
Are you present at all 3 shifts?
I try to come in once or twice a month and do the off shifts. Yeah, I get, you know, obviously first and second's easy. You know, you just straddle them. But the third shift is the rough one. So I do try to do that a couple times a month or once a month.
Do you have employee safety teams or?
Yes. Yeah, I have. Yeah, that's what I did. It was one big committee. It was about, 25, 30 people in a room at once. And I kind of broke that up to 3 teams of about 8 to 10. And that's those are the teams that we meet once, twice a month and just try to get together. And sometimes we'll do training. I used the Jenga set this past one.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a really good illustration, and it really works out well. Yeah. I steal more stuff from you, Todd, than you probably should.
Oh,
know.
You should steal everything you possibly can. Take it all, man. Go crazy. So what hints would you give a new safety manager that you've learned? What are things that would have saved you a lot of time had somebody told you early? What should people know that you're learning?
I just get out there and learn what they're doing. It's the most important part of, I mean, let's face it, a safety manager is really the kind of voice to upper level management, or, you know, whether it be the plant manager or the operations manager or any of those. You know, I mean, that's one of those peer on peer conversations that you can have. And if you're not understanding what is going on at the supervisor and worker level, if you do understand that, then you can have those conversations with management and help them understand what is being dealt with, what's being worked with, and how good of a job these folks are doing, I think. That's my advice, is to get out there. I constantly do walk-arounds, constantly ask people to tell you what they're doing and how they do it. Most of the – I have not ran into anybody who's been like, get out of here, I don't want to tell you. You know, everybody has no problems.
Shut up. Yeah, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
I mean, I'm not saying it won't happen, but it does happen. I will say this. I did get the best compliment where I'm at right now that I've ever gotten in my life. Got done with doing an all-employee meeting. And kind of, we were talking, I mean, it was right when I first got here. So we were talking about risk and, how you evaluate that using pre-jobs, things of that nature. After the meeting, this guy came up to me and he said, out of everybody who sat in that office, you made it the most digestible.
That is high. That's good.
I said, that's awesome. All right. I'll take it.
That's totally a good compliment. Man, Frank, thanks for your time. This was great.
Oh, hey, I hope it was all right.
It was great. Are you kidding? It was perfect. It is really good to talk to you. And I'm glad to hear.
Too.
Are things going well? It's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah. Things are going really well. I got to say, you know, calling Troy and you and stuff like that, you know, like I said, that community, I think, is very important. Now I'm getting into the website, the Safety Differently website. So
isn't that cool? That's cool. Isn't
it's very, very cool. Yeah.
And those guys are wide open, man. If you ever want to write anything down, write it down and send it to them. They're wide open.
I mean, my wife keeps telling me I should blog. I was like, I don't have time to blog. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really about you probably, I mean, nobody has time to blog, but it's about sort of realizing that when you blog, really what you're doing is improving how you understand your work.
That's true.
And so that's good. But you have lots to offer the world. This is great, man. You're going to be a star. You're going to be a rock star.
Hey, right on. I've always wanted to be a rock star.
And today, Frank, you did it, baby. You are a rock star in my book, and that's all that mattered. Wasn't that a great conversation? I tell you, that's what the podcast is about, a chance for people with voices from all over the world, all over their organization, to have a chance to tell their story. And I really appreciate Frank taking the time to tell us his. I think there's much in there for us to think about. There's certainly things for us to ponder. If you're a theorist and an academic, if you're thinking about safety from sort of the research side of the house, this is the voice of safety in real life. If you're a practitioner like Frank is, you know exactly what Frank was talking about. And you know the struggles and trials and tribulations and opportunities and joys and satisfactions that he gets. And he takes them where he can. And that's what matters. That's the podcast. Have a great holiday season. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I want to wish the best holiday season, the best Merry Christmas I can possibly wish to you. And have a lot of fun. But first, learn something every single day. Go out and have a great time in spite of the crowds. And for goodness sakes, be safe.
What kind of hippie bullshit is this?